This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. Mark Costello is a writer. He is the author of the Murphy stories and of Middle Murphy. His work has also appeared in many literary magazines and anthologies. Mark Costello has served as visiting writer at many colleges and universities, including the University of Chicago and Northwestern. For a year, he was writer in residence at the University of Iowa Writers Workshop. From 1972 to 2002, he taught creative writing at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Currently, he is Emeritus Professor of English at Illinois. Tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday, the 13th of February at 4:30, my guest Mark Costello will be in the author's corner of the Illini Union Bookstore for the semester's first lecture in the Carr Reading Series. He joins me this afternoon to talk about writing and teaching. Welcome.
Hello.
Nice to have you with us. How did you become a teacher?
Well, I became a teacher, I think, Celeste, because my father very badly wanted me to be a lawyer, and I very badly didn't want to be a lawyer. And then to get away from all of that, I joined the Marine Corps, and I realized how much I didn't want to
be a Marine
after a while, after not very long. So I began writing seriously then at night while I was in the Marine Corps, and that led to my having been accepted at the University of Iowa Writers Workshop, and things went on from there. I had my first teaching job at Wichita State University, and going from the how would I put it, the very exciting or engaging atmosphere of Iowa City to Wichita was a little bit like being in internal exile for a while. But things worked out, and then I wound up coming back to Illinois.
Yeah. Can you give us some sense of what happens to a student over the course of study in a creative writing program?
I think I can give you a really good example of that, and this will be anecdotal. I once had this student, one Larry Doyle, a slight dark-haired, unassuming kid from Chicago, I think. Anyway, Larry kept giving me these very funny, very short sketches, never more than a page and a half long, but funny because they were slightly hysterical and out of breath, or hysterical because they were so funny, they sometimes seemed to not to end, but to run out of breath. Anyway, I kept saying to Larry, "Larry, take a deep breath and get serious. I mean, I want to see you write a full, serious story, beginning, middle, and end. Because, quite frankly, I think you're at a dead end with this funny stuff. I mean, come on, Larry," I said, "a page and a half?" But Larry Doyle just couldn't take my advice. I think he was constitutionally incapable of it. Anyway, two or three or four years pass, and I come upon an article, a page and a half long, in the Shouts and Murmur section of the New Yorker. By whom? That's right, none other than Larry Doyle. And he ends with an apology to his old creative writing teacher. I mean, the last two words of the article were my first and last name, Mark Costello. Larry must have gotten a kick out of the very neatness of his ending this way. Where is Larry Doyle now?
Mm-hmm.
He is a regular contributor to The New Yorker, writes for and is a co-producer of The Simpsons TV show, and is a film writer for The Simpsons movies. And he is, though I can't imagine it, a novelist. talk about giving you wrong advice and giving it with all the conviction that I did.
And have you had students that you thought were really talented and were going to go somewhere and they ran out of steam?
Yeah, that happens. That happens all the time. But, you know, they have a way, one way or another, of continuing. Once that commitment or something like that commitment, that seriousness sets in, they never forget. They never forget about their writing. And I think that the experience of a good workshop, where they're with other people, mavericks like themselves, who are seriously committed to writing and writing well, that stays with people.
Hmm. What's a first assignment like in a creative writing workshop?
Well, usually I begin with something that's fairly simple, like a short sketch. In terms of, let's say, a day-by-day conduct of classes, okay, I'd photocopy the students' stories, distribute them ahead of time, ask them to edit and annotate each other's work, and on the day they're to be discussed, I read the stories in class, and we would, I should say, talk about them. I'd been doing it this way for years when I came to something I thought that might make for more spontaneity. One afternoon, I decided that I'd do the narrative voiceover of the story, and I'd assign the other characters' voices and certain passages of description or action to other students. Let the writer hear his or her story, not only in my voice, but in the voices of their fellow students. I sort of knew who would be good at reading what, and this multi-voiced, often cross-gendered approach was an absolute immediate success. Mm. It was terrifically informative for the student whose story was being read, to hear it from a number of voices. It was also sometimes fun and also awfully, awfully funny.
Yeah.
I can remember many examples of, a particular student doing a particular voice particularly well and in a way that really, really surprised the person who had actually written that voice, maybe in his or her own voice, but... when it comes from somebody else, whammo, it's a different matter.
Yeah. I wonder, do you encourage students to, once they have a page, to read it out loud?
I have mixed feelings, I guess, about that. But I think it is good to read a story aloud, even if it's just to yourself. When you talk about a page, Celeste, I think you want to get past that first page and into the second or the third or the fourth before you take a pause, which may be a critical one, and read it aloud to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The great American short story writer Catherine Ann Porter once said that a good short story ought to have about it the fun of a game and the gravity of a choice. The fun of writing a short story often comes in the conception, which can sometimes be so lightning quick no matter what instrument you use. You can barely get it down on paper. But when you do get the beginning down, when you begin to see in it the stretches and depths to which you mean to bring your story in order to bring it to the end to which it itself wants to be brought, that's where intention and ambition come in, also choice. You've said to yourself, I have chosen to write this story, I've got a start on it, and now you have to say to yourself, I must choose to bring it to the end to which it itself demands to be brought, or else I have been false to my choice and say goodbye to gravity. I think this formulation of Katherine Ann Porter's The Fun of the Game, The Gravity of a Choice, that works with both teaching and writing. So, you know, I would rather see a student write until they had come to some kind of difficulty or pause, and then maybe go back and reread to themselves.
Yeah, you used some interesting words here. Whammo, yeah. Choose to write, mm-hmm. and gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And whammo is a really good way to describe how the Murphy stories take hold. It's like, you if you've told me, sit down, I have a story to tell you. And I'm not going to let you go till I'm finished telling it. Is that what you aim for when you sit down to write? Is that a reader will feel that whammo, that gravity, too?
Well, you know, I want the story to be, and I think it was Joseph Conrad that said, to achieve the condition of art, a piece of fiction must carry its justification in every line. And I want every line to be as good as every paragraph, and every paragraph to be as good as the story, as a whole. So that's what I try for. But the first real Murphy story that I wrote at Iowa, and I was under such pressure to succeed there that the anxiety level alone. I had not done well the first semester, and if you don't do well two semesters in a row at Iowa, you're out on your ear. And so there were all these people who had published stories and were young but already had a bit of a reputation, and I kept comparing myself to them, and I said, my God, I just, you know, I'm in way, way over my head. These people are enormously better than I am. And so I kind of just gave up. I was writing this story. It was complicated, had myth in it. It was way, way over my head. And I finally just said, I quit. I can't do this. I don't belong here. And the next day, this is literally the truth, I was in my little cubbyhole of an office, and I just wrote a line down, and more lines kept coming. And I finally, by saying, I can't do this, freed myself somehow in the direction, to use the word again, spontaneity or ease or privacy, whatever word you want to talk to it, but that story became mine and not a performance of any kind that I was trying to do for somebody else. And that's where I had my breakthrough. And I knew immediately that I was on to something.
Yeah. We got to wrap it up. We're out of time.
Okay.
We won't have time for Earth and Sky today either. It's been a pleasure talking with you this afternoon.
Well, I'm sorry if I
no,
I
no, no. No, 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 no.
I am wont to do that.
Mark Costello, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Celeste.
Mark Costello, tomorrow afternoon, the 13th of February, Wednesday at 4:30, he will be in the Author's Corner of the Illini Union Bookstore for the semester's first lecture in the Car Reading Series. Everyone is invited.